you're probably about dead.
Well, I was about dead 4 years ago. Now I died, sort of resurrected, and now I've walked through purgatory covered in grime and ennui.
Grime and poo.
Yeah.
Mikey, if you wouldn't mind, just like I got like two or three questions here that
yeah, man,
were
that's
like,
why I'm calling.
You are the best.
Lay them on me.
So I ask. Oh wait a minute, I forgot to check that one off. So I don't have that many. I got it because we already talked about that. One thing that I wanted to find out was, and again, I kind of know the question or the answer to some of this, but you know, what other singing have you done other than barbershop?
Well, my whole my whole entree actually into entertainment was, you know, like most everything I do, I'm kind of an imposter, as you know, but out of high school and then out of college, I was still involved in the society. I was starting to taper off a bit, but, you know, I was still in a quartet and still doing this, that, and the other. And I was trying to get my SAG card.
Okay.
Screen Actors Guild.
Right.
Because I wanted to do some acting, and I wanted to get my Equity card and my AGMA card. And back in 1984... those unions were really much more powerful than they are now, and they meant a lot, and I couldn't get in. You can't get your SAG card unless you do a SAG project, and you can't do a SAG project unless you have your SAG card. So
okay.
There's a ridiculous loophole in the industry, and the loophole was AGMA. It's the American Guild of Musical Artists,
okay.
And AGMA governs opera.
Oh, okay.
So, in 1984, maybe 85, I was singing with Mike Gellert at the time, and Mike had been in the opera for years, and he said, you know, you should check it out. It's a lot of fun. You know, most of the guys are gay, and all of the girls are young and straight, and you can dress like a pirate and a Viking and take your drink of the litter, and you'll have a ball. So I actually started looking into it, and what I found was what I mentioned, and I wanted to just get in the opera and get my union card.
Right.
Because, you know, if you get your AGMA, you can buy your SAG card or your AFTRA card or your Equity card, which are the ones I really wanted.
Okay.
So I went to the library and I checked out an album. And I learned an aria, and Mike helped me with some of the language. And I crashed an audition, and I sang the Coda aria from La Boheme. And I got in. Complete fluke somehow or other. They were like, okay, we need a guy with a low voice,
and here he is.
There were 60 or 70 people in the repertory company, but I got in the Baltimore Opera Chorus. I got my AGMA card, and then I bought my other cards, and then I figured I would just drop out, but I actually did have a ball. I kind of enjoyed the music, but I also really liked the people, and Mike was right. There were, you know, 40 single women and 38 gay men, and me and Mike was married, and so there I was, dressed as a pirate, singing some of the finest music ever written, and having a pretty good time.
That is amazing. So is that basically the only
time? Yeah, it's a great time, actually, from 84 through 88, maybe 89.
Wow. And was that basically the only other singing that you had done?
Well, there were plays. I did some repertory theater.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I sang Curly in Oklahoma. I sang, most of the standard repertory stuff. I was really interested back then in acting more than anything. So I was doing some Shakespeare in the Park. I was doing Restoration comedy. I was doing, you know, a lot of the basic, you know, long-haired, bearded, arrogant actor crap.
And was that all still here in Baltimore?
Yeah, that was that was in Baltimore, it was in D.C., it was in New York.
Oh, cool.
And what happened was I, one afternoon during a performance of, I think the Ringdisneibel Luncheon, some of the Wagner's Ring Cycle, one of those things, I walked across the street during the intermission, which was 40 minutes long, but then I didn't need to be on stage for another hour after that, so I had like a two-hour break in this endless opera. And I walked over to the Mount Royal Tavern to get a beer and watch the football game.
Right.
In the middle of the performance, which I did all the time.
So the show's still going on?
Yeah, the show's going on. I sneak out the stage door, dressed up like a Viking. In fact, I'm carrying a spear and I've got horns on my head. And I cross Mount Royal Avenue and I go into the bar and I sit down. I used to do this, you know, I knew everybody in the bar. I knew the bartender. And the guy didn't have the game on. He was watching UBC. And I was like, what the hell are you doing? And he said, I got an audition tomorrow for this channel. So I sat there and I watched it with him, and I'm like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever seen. And people are selling pots and pans and everything. He was like, yeah, but, you know, they make pretty good money, and I need a job. And, well, at that point, I needed a job, too. I mean, obviously, I'm dressed like a Viking and drinking beer on a Sunday afternoon when I'm supposed to be on stage. So I watched it with him, and we wound up arguing about the end of Western civilization and commercialism and all that, and he bet me $100 I couldn't get a call back. So I crashed the audition with him the next day and got hired on the spot. So I took the job and moved to Westchester, Pennsylvania about 3 weeks later, and that's how I got on TV.
Wow.
I started selling things in the middle of the night on QVC.
Well, you know, you and I talked before. You're all over YouTube, and some of those, you look pretty young.
that was 89, man.
You look pretty young, yeah.
And how scary is YouTube that some lunatic was taping them?
Well,
nearly 20 years ago.
Exactly, and then took the time to fish it out and post it up.
And had the sick, twisted presence of mind to keep it for 18 years.
Exactly.
I mean, what? Inconceivable.
Unbelievable. That's great. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I did not know some of that. That's pretty cool. Well, have you ever won any barbershop awards? I mean, did you ever win a district contest or a division?
I won a district. Won a division one year.
Okay.
But I couldn't tell you what year or who I was singing with. I think it might have been Mike Gellert and John Markell and maybe Jimmy Roop.
Okay.
But yeah, we won a division. I don't know when.
Did you ever sing in a quartet with Pat Paul?
Oh yeah. We sang in a quartet called Tyson Street.
Right.
Pat sang lead. Mike Gellert sang baritone.
Okay.
And for a while, Jimmy Roop sang tenor, and then Mike's brother, Pat's brother, Mike Paul.
Right, okay. And Mike, was that the quartet that when you guys sang in Virginia Beach, that you came in 17th and Pat
17th,
Paul?
17th, baby. 17th.
Pat Paul was going around the entire town going, we're talking 17.
17, okay. 17. That's right.
I'll never forget that. He was...
17. Yeah, when it's that bad, you go in and you lead with it. You
exactly.
You don't try and hide it. Yeah, we made up medals. We had 17 hanging around our necks.
Perfect. Perfect. And of course, I understand that you recently took first place at the Dundalk Holiday Glow and Quartet Contest.
Yeah, apparently there's a. You know, there was a little bit of initial controversy over the decision from what I've read in the trades, but that's all been put to rest, and now it's, you know, more or less accepted that we kicked everyone.
Pretty much, and I'm proud to say that I have the matching other first place medal from that wonderful contest, and
that was a big night, dude. Me, exactly. You, Fred King, and Bob C.
What is wrong with that? That was pretty fun.
Now, you know what? That was the first time I'd seen Fred since his stroke.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it killed me to, you know, sit there. And
yep.
It was great. I mean, it was really sweet. And, you know, I'm glad it happened.
Yeah, absolutely. Wouldn't have missed that for the world. It's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
Mikey, one last thing here, and I kind of, the last time that we talked, I think when I was in the airport going, oh no, you when you called me at the prelims, there was one question that Lauren May, the editor of the Harmonizer, just kind of threw out at me. He says, just, you know, see if you, when you talk to Mike, ask him stuff like, you know, why would a guy like Mike Rowe, who could probably, you know, just about go wherever he chose to during the holidays and all that kind of thing, why would you be in Maryland at the Dundalk, you know, holiday glow between Christmas and New Year's?
Well, I spend about 300 nights a year on the road, and you know, my folks are still in Maryland, so I wanted to come and see them. And while I was there, I heard about the event. But, you know, the truth is, had I known about the event, I probably would have made it an extra point to try and be in town, because on the rare occasions I can get home, and by home I don't mean where I live, I mean, you know, where I was born and where I grew up.
Right.
I like to do things that just remind me of Baltimore, because I miss it, you know, and I miss my friends there, and I miss the town, and, you know, for that reason, I'll always go to John Stevens in Fells Point and have crab soup. I'll always get a beer over at the Cat's Eye Pub. I'll always go over to the Horse You Came In On and say hey to the bartenders there. you know, I will always call Pat and Dave and hopefully scare you up and go sing one somewhere if we can. And, you know, that's just all really, for me, part of reconnecting with friends and family, and just a piece of the past that's still very much a part of me. And, you know, music helps that. You know, music is an easy way for me to immediately go back 25 years and just kind of be in the town, around the people, doing the things that just reminded me of a, you know, of a simpler time, an easier time, you know?
Right.
Music's a way to, you know, compress all of that. Barbershop does that in a quick way, you know. Singing and tag with you and Dave and Pat, you know, I know we do the same shit most of the time, but what we do is, you know, the fun of it for me is that it just, it's one of those triggers that yanks you straight back. And, I mean, if I'm ever in town and there's an event like that going on, I'll try and be there for that reason.
That's great. Well, one quick question off the record. If I can scare up an honorary membership for you, is that some, I mean, is July-ish like at the International? Is that a time where you could sneak in there? You sneak into Nashville for a day or for whatever?
Well, you know what?
To get it presented.
Tell me as soon as you can. I mean, we're literally shooting 3 weeks every month, and we've got South Africa and some Australia stuff coming up in July and August.
Oh,
but
my gosh.
If I know that's coming, I'll see if production can't scare up a shoot in Tennessee. And, you know, while I'm there, I'll absolutely come over to Nashville for a couple nights.
That would be the best. I'll find out about that straight away.
That would be awesome.
So you said you were in Oklahoma City, and quickly I went because I'm going, Oklahoma City, that doesn't sound right. It was actually Kansas City where they did it.
Was it Kansas? Or was it, I swear I thought it was a Tulsa, too.
I think that's where they were from or something, but I went in there. It was the first meeting was the Muehlbach Hotel in Kansas City.
In Kansas City? No kidding.
Yeah.
I'll bet you. OC Cash is from Oklahoma.
I'll look up his biography and stuff and check that. But
in fact, you know, it was the hotel. It starts with an M, right? In Kansas City. Muehlbach.
Yes, the Muehlbach Hotel. Yep.
Here we go. You're right. That was in Kansas City. But here we go. OC Cash, a businessman from Tulsa.
There you go.
Made his way to the Hotel Muehlbach to pass the time until he could continue his trip. Looking around, he spotted a vaguely familiar face, walked over, and asked the fellow if he could sing tenor Rupert Hall.
Unbelievable.
Aloud as he could. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I was literally in Tulsa 2 days ago.
Wow. And
you know what? I don't know what kind of license you want to take with this, Rick, but if I were you, I'd say you got Mike on the phone, you know, in OC Cash's hometown, because I'm about 20 minutes from
there. Let's do it. I mean, I'm all about that. I mean, any kind of hooks we can put in this would be great. Like, I wanted to ask you, you said you were, you know, shooting today and you were covered with poo and et cetera. What were you, were you shooting a Dirty Jobs episode today?
Yeah, and it was a great classic Dirty Job. We were literally cleaning dirt.
Cleaning dirt?
A pipeline ruptured out here in the middle of nowhere. A pipeline, you know, the thousands of miles of these things that pump jet fuel, gasoline, and diesel, and they run about 6-7 feet under the ground.
Right.
You know, for thousands of miles, and this one broke and filled. I mean, just filled like 200,000 gallons went crashing into the ground. So the cleanup is like 5 years, and there's this huge pit, and these guys are dredging the dirt out, and they're running it through a device that they basically built from scratch that burns the oil out of the dirt, and then they're putting the dirt back in the earth. So we're basically, I spent the day cleaning dirt in Oklahoma. And I'm filthy. I mean, I just look like, I look like Al Jolson, man. I mean,
there you go. There you go. Al Jolson, the early days. Oh,
yeah.
Man.
The salad days.
Mercy. Mercy, Mike. Nothing else is like coming to me. I don't interview people very often, especially famous people. And you know, you're famous. I mean,
dude, you're my friend. Forget all that.
Yeah.
If I were you, and you write it any way you want, but you know, you should write this from the standpoint of a guy who stood and woodshedded face to face over the years in countless hotel lobbies and stairwells.
Yeah.
And then suddenly, you know, he went off and one of the shows he worked on finally hit.
Yeah.
But you know what? Five will get you 10. If I run into you in a stairwell somewhere, we'll figure a way to sing something.
We got to do it. We got to do it because you are the loudest man in the land.
I try to be.
Mikey, thanks so much for your time, pal.
Anytime. Look, if you need anything else, call me. I'll get back to you as soon as I can. And if I can, hit me with an email if you want to, you know, send me what you've written, or if you want me to, you know, enlarge on anything.
All right, that'll be great, and I'll find out about the membership thing and shoot that back to you as rapidly as I can get an answer.
Great, and you know, I don't know ultimately, you know, how much space you want for this, but if you need pictures, Dirty Jobs pictures, I can put you in touch with PR at Discovery. They got millions. And they'll send you a JPEG, and you can use that. And, I mean, who knows? Might even be able to dredge up an old quartet picture if you want to do a, you know, now and then kind of thing.
If you just want to email me that that production thing, that's fine. Or if you just want to tell it to me now, it'll be on the recorder here. That's fine, too.
Oh, let's see. Discovery PR. Her name's Catherine Nelson, and I'm looking for her number. Ultimately, it's going to be, you know what, talk to your guys and see what sort of format they want. If it's just a JPEG or like a digital photo, I might be able to just pull one off my hard drive and send it to you.
Okay.
But if you want something from the old days, either call my mother or maybe Gellert. You might have an old quartet photo.
Might have an old Tyson Street photo. Great. Mike, get some rest, mister.
Yeah, man. That's the plan. I'm heading to bed.
Attaboy. Thanks so much, Mike. Awfully good to talk to you, bud.
You too, buddy. I will, I'll make sure we get together next time I'm in town. Don't know when it'll be, but, you know, hopefully sooner than later.
Let's do it.
All right, man.
All right, pal. See you now.
See you.
Bye.